ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
If you're all set and ready, you know what? So am I.
The Mighty Challenge.
Yes, 25 questions in five categories. Our categories tonight are category number one, the gunpowder plot. The gunpowder plot. Category number two, six-letter answers. Category number three, when in Dome. Category number four, The Twilight Zone. Category number five, Jazz and Blues. The gunpowder plot, six-letter answers. When in Dome, The Twilight Zone, Jazz and Blues. Jackie, no, there is not a cockchafer category tonight. Jackie's obsessed with these Beatles. That's all right. 1-300-800-222 is the number. Let's kick it off. Tom from Yuengai. G'day, Tom. How are you?
Good evening, Philip. How are you?
Not too bad. What do you like here? We've got the gunpowder plot, six-letter answers, when in Dome, the Twilight Zone, Jazz and Blues.
I'll take the first one, the gunpowder plot.
The gunpowder plot. What's on in the background there, Tom? Is it the TV or something, is it?
It's a radio in the bedroom.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to switch it off.
Yeah, better if you switch it off, I think, Tom, yeah. Better if you switch it off, because otherwise it just mucks up with the way distorts. Everyone else hears it. Yeah, no, everyone else hears it.
Better if you switch it off, I think, Tom, yeah.
There we go.
That's it.
All righty, question number one. What did you want again?
Gunpowder plot.
The gunpowder plot. The gunpowder plot was a conspiracy to blow up a London palace. Which one?
Buckingham.
No, not Buckingham Palace. Sorry, Tom. No, it wasn't Buckingham Palace. No. Mick from Glen Iris. G'day, Mick.
How you doing?
Not too bad. Not too bad. The gunpowder plot was a conspiracy to blow up a London palace. Which one?
Not liking the categories tonight, sorry. The Tower of London.
Not the Tower of London. No, it was not the Tower of London. Thank you. Vanessa, hello. Hi, Vanessa.
Hello to me.
Hello to you, Vanessa, yes. Question number one, the gunpowder plot. The gunpowder plot was a conspiracy to blow up a London palace. Which one?
I agree with the last caller. I don't like any of these topics.
Mm.
And I know you went over this last night or the night before, and the last one was not the Tower of London, because I thought it was that. It's not Buckingham Palace, so, oh la la, Sandringham.
Not Sandringham, not Sandringham. Marjorie from Harrisville, sort of Marjorie, yes. Paul from Plainland says the Palace Hotel. Yeah, nice. It could have been, I guess. Dave's in Brisbane. G'day, Dave.
G'day, Phil. How are you doing, sir?
Pretty good, yeah. Pretty good. Question number one, the gunpowder plot is where we are. The gunpowder plot was a conspiracy to blow up which London palace?
Right. Well, the gunpowder plot would be a magnificent name for a band.
It would, actually.
It would. And you could be on, like, really heavy metal tambourine and
of all the best. Hang on, do you mean all the best jobs have gone, Dave? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly, Phil. Yeah, look, the band just looked around and went, "Oh, there's Phil in the corner."
No one puts Phil in the corner, Dave.
Baby Phil.
Hey, the gunpowder plot was a conspiracy to blow up which London palace?
Oh, let's go for Windsor.
Not Windsor Palace, no. Sorry, not Windsor Palace, no. Glenn in Penrith. Hello, Glenn.
Oh, g'day, Phil. How are you going?
All right, yeah.
That's the way.
All right. The gunpowder.
I was just commending Dave on his piece on Queen last week. It was bloody beauty.
Oh, Dave, yes, in Dave's disc. Yeah, I know, he was. It was great. It was a good piece on Queen, wasn't it?
Yeah, I listened to it the next morning online. So I thought I'd better listen to it. It was great.
Yes, Bohemian, the true history and meaning of Bohemian Rhapsody. There you go.
Yeah. Oh, there was a lot of stuff in there I didn't know of.
Same here.
I hadn't researched it that much.
We all learn things.
Yeah, was good, yeah.
He's been a bit secretive about this week, but I don't know. He's been a bit secretive this week, but we'll find out tomorrow.
I know what it is, but I won't let the cat out of the bag.
Oh, is that right? Dave's already told you, is he?
Yeah.
Oh, gee, it would be a good idea if he told me too, I suppose, wouldn't it?
No, that's right. You mightn't be a close enough friend of his, mate.
He's on borrowed time, Glenn. Question number one. The gunpowder plot was a conspiracy to blow up which London palace?
Well, the only other palace I know is the one that Diana's had was Kensington Palace, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's not Kensington Palace, no.
Probably not.
Sorry, Nicola. Thank you, Glenn. No. Bye-bye. No, it's not Kensington Palace. Mike from Hamilton Hill in WA. G'day, Mike.
G'day, mate. How are you?
All right. Yes. The gunpowder plot. The gunpowder plot was a conspiracy to blow up which London palace?
Well, I thought this one might have gone down pretty quickly earlier, being at Guy Fawkes Night. Don't think
what we used to call Cracker Night.
Yeah, not actually considered a palace, but I'm pretty sure it was the Houses of Parliament.
Yeah, but I asked you, the gunpowder plot was a conspiracy to blow up which London palace? I'm a stickler for detail. Sorry, go on.
Westminster Abbey is nearby, but I thought it was the Houses of Parliament.
Yeah, but I'm a stickler for detail here, and I'm going to stick on it. Like, what's the palace called?
Westminster Palace.
Correct. Yeah, I'll give it to you. Okay. Yes, I'll give it to you. Yes, it, strictly speaking, was the Palace of Westminster, which contains the Houses of Parliament.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I'm glad I guessed it. But
there we go.
I do remember being in London when the Wallabies won the World Cup in 99. It was also November the 5th, and we were setting off fireworks in the streets of Kensington, just wedged them between cracks in the pavement and stuff. So it was quite stuck in my mind.
Are you old enough to have grown up with Cracker Night, Mike, or not?
Not really.
Before they banned them all. I mean, it was a sensible ban, I'm sure.
Yeah, by... no, growing up in Perth in the 70s and 80s, like, it wasn't a thing.
You wouldn't have had, yeah, no crackers for you. Question number two, the gunpowder plot. Go on.
What were the other ones?
Six-letter answers. When in Dome, that's D-O-M-E, when in Dome, The Twilight Zone, Jazz and Blues.
Let's try six-letter answers.
Six-letter answers. Question number two. Which word can mean the mouth of a dog or the mouth of a gun?
Ooh, mouth of a dog, you call it a moor or whatever. Mouth of a gun. Let's try barrel.
Not barrel, no. Not barrel. Thank you, Mike. Not the barrel. Sorry, Anne from Caulfield. Hello, Anne. Sorry, you've been waiting on there, but we've been a bit busy here on the program tonight.
I'm quite happy not to have had that question because I would have just said the Houses of Parliament and it would not occur to me any palace there. But anyway. I know this, I think.
Which word can mean the mouth of a gun or the mouth of a dog?
Muzzle.
A muzzle, yes. I suppose, strictly speaking, the mouth and nose of the dog, isn't it, is a muzzle.
Yeah, and they're so cute. I mean, the dogs.
What?
Are cute.
What? The muzzles are cute, or the dog? Oh,
no,
the dog.
The dogs are cute.
Not all dogs are cute, Anne. Some dogs are cute.
Our family dog is cute.
The muzzle of a big Rottweiler who's bent on on evil intent is not that cute.
No, absolutely not.
And also, I don't know how you describe. Would you describe a pug's face as cute?
You know what? It's a face a mother would love.
It's a face only a mother could love.
Only a mother would love.
Question number three, six-letter answers. That's where we are, but you can move.
Let's stay there for as long as I can.
Oh, I see.
I don't like other topics at all.
Diana from Woodnilling had muzzle. So did Jane from Homebush, Jenny from Glenbrook, Jane Hobart. Diana, yes, very good. Deborah from the Grove says, get rid of Halloween and bring back Cracker Night. Much as I would love to, Deborah, I do acknowledge that it did cause a lot of injuries. So I suppose. All right, question number three, six-letter answers. What name is given to a loudspeaker designed for low-frequency sounds?
I'm not sure, but would it be a woofer?
A woofer, correct. Yes. The first, a woofer, correct. Question number four, Tanya from Mount Hawthorn says, I was speaking to a Londoner today, and she says Guy Fawkes Night there has been largely overtaken by Halloween.
Oh, you're kidding, really?
Okay.
You know, it's only a few years ago that there was no big deal at all here on Halloween.
Anyway. Yeah, well, maybe Guy Fawkes Night has been overtaken by Halloween. It has spread, but, you know, it's hard to argue with. Kids love it, so, well, some kids love it, I suppose. You could ban it in your household. I think when our kids were growing up, I kind of banned it. I don't think they had a bad time, but, I mean, it's a bit grousey, isn't it?
My grandkids were absolutely, I think they're still high on the lollies that they got, you know, on the people they think.
Yeah.
They love it.
Evening Phil says, Janie and Hawthorne, my parents sent four-year-old me and my brother, who was nine, down to the local oval in Melbourne with crackers. the 1970s. Yeah, I know. Four-year-old, heavens above. We did have different attitudes back then. Question number four, six-letter answers. Which word for a dog shelter is derived from the Latin word for dog?
Well, the only thing I can think of would be kennel.
Correct, yeah. A kennel. Tish on the Central Coast says, as with many dogs, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. That's true. My texter says, I wouldn't say the mouth of a dog is a muzzle. No, I kind of corrected myself by saying the mouth and nose. The whole assembly, isn't it? The mouth and nose of a dog is a muzzle.
Yeah.
Question number five. Six-letter answers. Yes, which word can mean a pit of slate? Or a game hunted with hounds?
A game with hounds would be
Which word can mean a pit of slate or game hunted with hounds?
I'm not answering yet. I'm just thinking in terms of fox hunt, but I doubt that. But a pit of slate, what would that be? Goodness me. We have not a mind, but where my husband used to work, where they have the explosives and they do things. And you know what? It's going to come to me. If I'm right, it's going to come to me afterwards.
Thank you. Thanks, Anne. Bye. See you later. Bye-bye. Yes, Rachel and Kilmore, Lorella's got a right answer. Jenny in Glenbrook also had the right answer. Liz in Ballarat says, fond memories of Cracker Night, aged about eight. I had a friend to share it with. We'd hold the littlest crackers. My dad would light them and then we'd throw. My friend panicked, threw willy-nilly and unbelievably landed her lit cracker in the tin. Dad had put them all in. Oh, dear. All those. I know, there were stories. But that, look, yeah, I know. Plenty of people were injured. That's true. Terry in Perth. Hello, Terry.
Good evening, Phil. How are you?
I'm all right, yeah. Guy Fawkes night. The gunpowder plot. We're in six-letter answers here, though. We're up to question number five. Which word can mean a pit of slate or game hunted with hounds?
That would be a quarry.
Correct. Yes. A pit of slate is a quarry, and game that's hunted with hounds, hounds hunt the quarry, don't they? Hmm.
They do indeed.
Six-letter answers. You might have noticed some connection with all these at the moment.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I'd love a little clue zone to tell me, should I stay in six-letter words or should I go back to the bonfire or to the, what did you say it was?
The gunpowder plot.
The gunpowder plot.
Terry, did you seriously ask me for a clue or a suggestion? Terry,
yeah.
You are better. Terry, you are better than that. You are.
Okay, I'm better than that. All right, let's go back to the gunpowder plot.
Back to the gunpowder plot.
Just to be fun.
Lynn says, by the way, we still have crackers in Alice Springs on Territory Day. It's ridiculous. Okay. I think the ACT had crackers for a while, didn't they? I think they did for a while. I don't know whether they still do.
Well, I have to say, the story about throwing the cracker into the repository tin was quite funny.
I was friends with a kid across the road, and his father, and we found this big bunger, you know, that some kid hadn't gone off, right? So we took it. He took it to his dad and said, look, Dad, here's this massive bunger.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, oh, that's no worries. You know, there's a little stub of wick there. I'll light it and chuck it for you. Well, you know what happened next, don't you? I mean, fortunately, us kids were not standing close to it. But the poor fella went bang off in his hand. Dear, oh dear. He wasn't.
Oh, my goodness.
It wasn't a hospital thing, but I'll tell you what.
Wow.
He got less interested in playing with kids after that, I can tell you.
Wow. Yeah.
Question six, the gunpowder plot. In which century did the gunpowder plot take place?
17th.
Correct. Yes, the 17th century, because it took place in 1605.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Deborah from the Grove says, nothing like a penny bunger in a letterbox. Oh, I know, Deborah.
Your listeners are very naughty.
Oh, dear. I must confess, I did it. Yes, a penny bunger in a letterbox.
Sure you did.
And you know what? Kaboom!
Yep. All right, give me another kaboom from the gunpowder plot, please. Phil.
The gunpowder plot, question number seven. Who was the King of England at the time of the gunpowder plot?
Ooh, James I.
Correct.
Yep.
Very good, Terry. Three on the
track. Well, I come from Ireland, so it's English.
Oh, history. So you've got a lot of sympathy with Guy Fawkes.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying we covered a lot of English history in our Irish curriculum.
Oh, yeah, okay. Mm. Which part of Ireland did you come from, Terry?
From Dublin, but I've been here since 1984.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, you're well acclimatised by now, Terry.
Oh, I am.
You've just folded.
And I still sound like this.
You've just folded up your umbrella and put it away and decided there's not so much call for it here.
Oh, absolutely. Yep.
Cat at Thirl says up until the late 90s you could still buy crackers in the ACT. Okay. Yeah, I seem to remember that. Question number seven, we're in the gunpowder plot. Staying here?
Yes, please. Yep.
Before becoming involved in the plot, the gunpowder plot, Guy Fawkes had fought in the army of which Catholic country?
Ooh. Guy Fawkes had fought in a Catholic country. I'm going to guess that it was Spain.
Correct. It was. It was Spain, yes. Hmm. Harry and
Are there any more questions in the plot?
There is. There's one more.
Okay. Yep.
Harry in the Bay says, my dad copped a skyrocket up the leg of his army shorts one cracker night.
Oh, my God. That's not funny, Phil.
I know.
terrible.
I know. Look, it's not. I agree. Glenn from Penrith says the Thunderbunger fitted perfectly in the top of a pint milk bottle. How did we survive in those times? Yeah.
Who made up the names for these things?
I don't. The Thunderbunger. Okay. Question number 8, the last one in the gunpowder. No, actually, this must be question number 9. Yes, it is. No, question number 9. Last one in the gunpowder plot. How many barrels of gunpowder were discovered beneath the House of Lords? Now, I'll give it to you plus or minus 5.
Oh.
How many barrels of gunpowder were discovered beneath the House of Lords?
Okay. I do know that they were in a cellar, obviously, and I do know there was quite a bit of it because it was quite full and it was a bit surprising. But I would not have a clue how many barrels, so I'm just going to have to throw it in the air and then wait for the rest of the world to tell me.
Plus or minus 5.
Plus or minus 5, okay. I'm going to say 28.
Not correct, Terry.
Oh, that's what I thought. Lovely to chat with you.
You too, Terry.
Have
thank you.
Good night.
Good night. Thank you. Yes, no. Bobsled says, be careful not to ask an Irish person about Richard III. Yes, or Cromwell or a whole range of things, Bobsled. I agreed. Jane from Mount Gambier says, I got traumatised by being chased by a jumping jack. Yeah. No, Mark says that fireworks in Territory Day was terrible. There's all sorts of injuries. Yeah, no, I agree. Richard from Steve the Truckie says, that's not funny, Phil. That's hilarious. I know. Richard from Albany, g'day.
Hi, how are you, Phil?
Question number 9 we're up to, the gunpowder plot. How many barrels of gunpowder were discovered beneath the House of Lords? Now, I'll give it to you plus or minus 5. 28 was not correct.
I'll try 18.
No, not 18. Sorry, Richard, no, not 18. Steve from Leicester. G'day, Steve.
Good evening, Phil.
Hello.
Ah, a guessing game. I love it.
I suppose, yeah, I mean, there is, it's possible that some people may know this, but...
Yeah, that is true.
How many barrels of gunpowder? How much? How much? How barrel of gunpowder would weigh? You'd have to be careful with a barrel of gunpowder, wouldn't you? I think I'd get someone else to carry them.
Especially on Kraken Night.
Yeah, I know. That's right.
I'm just going to guess a round 50.
Yeah, I think I probably would have gone there. It's not correct. I guess. See, I'm giving it to you plus or minus 5, but no, that's not. That's
you'll
not,
get that,
not,
okay.
It's not correct. No. Thanks. Oh. Thanks, Steve. The Thrypney Bunger was the go. That was the letterbox blower upper. Oh, that was expensive though. That was a big cartridge. No, Elizabeth, I know. They are dangerous. They are. Little brother Tucker says I used to get Bic pens, take out the nib and ink reservoir, fill them with gunpowder from firecrackers, use a bolt to pick them up, pack them in tight, put a wick into the small hole halfway up the pen casing. Pack each end with clay, tape up the end. Boom. Jonah's got the right answer here. Where are we? Paul from the Sunshine Coast. G'day, Paul. Hi, Paul. Hello, Paul. Oh, he's there somewhere. Have I got you? Yeah. Hi, Paul. Question number 9 we're up to. The gunpowder plot. How many barrels of gunpowder were discovered beneath the House of Lords?
Oh.
Plus or minus 5 barrels.
We'll go 7?
No, not 7. No, he was more ambitious than that. Andrew in Smithton. Hello, Andrew.
I'm here. Yeah.
How many barrels of gunpowder were discovered beneath the House of Lords, Andrew?
There has to be 2 dozen plus another half dozen. So I'd say about 32.
I'll give it to you because it's 36. I'll give it to you plus or minus five. Yes, it was 36 barrels of gunpowder. It would have made an almighty bung if it had gone off. But of course, it didn't. No. Nah. Max from Dunolly had 36 barrels. Good on you, too.
Dunolly from Tassie.
No. Oh, I don't think so. Oh, I know. Oh, that's right. Dunolly is from Tassie. That's right. But I don't think this is. Andrew, question number 10 we're up to, the gunpowder plot. Now, there's no more questions in the gunpowder plot. There's one left in six-letter answers. Then otherwise it's the Twilight Zone, Jazz and Blues, or When in Dome.
I'll go Twilight Zone first.
The Twilight Zone, question number 10. The classic Twilight Zone episode, Nightmare at 20,000 Feet, takes place on what type of vehicle?
I think it's a B-17 or a B-29. B-17. Bomber.
I'll give it to you. It's an aeroplane. Yes, exactly. An aeroplane. A fairly easy one to get us started with. Question number 11. We're in the Twilight Zone.
What is it?
We're staying there, Andrew?
Yes.
Okay. In Norse mythology, which event is also known as the Twilight of the Gods?
Oh, I don't really know. To be honest, so I'll have to pass it on to someone else. But I'll continue listening, and I really enjoy your show.
Thank you, Andrew. See you later. All righty, Jim in Como. G'day, Jim.
Yeah, hi.
Hello. Hi. Question number 11. In Norse mythology, which event is also known as the Twilight of the Gods?
I'm just thinking of the Wagnerian opera, of Götterdämmerung.
Not Götterdämmerung, no. It's not Götterdämmerung. Thank you. Dave in Falconbridge. G'day, Dave.
Hi, Phil. How's it going?
Not bad. Question.
It would have been okay. I was going to say 37.
Oh, were you for barrels of gunpowder? Yeah.
As a punt.
Well, I think I might have thought about, well, how many lords were in the House of Lords, because I'd have a barrel for each one of them. But back then in 1605, there probably weren't more than about 30, I imagine. I don't know. Question 11, we're up to the Twilight Zone. In Norse mythology, which event is also known as the Twilight of the Gods?
I can only think of maybe the flight to Valhalla.
No, not the flight to Valhalla, Dave. Thank you. No. Billy from North Narrow says, I can't believe what I'm hearing. Cracker Night was fantastic. I would vote for a fireworks for all political party. Gee, that'd be a platform. Billy, wouldn't it? It would be a platform. Soft Dog says those gunpowder questions went off with a bang. Oh, boom, boom. All righty, who's got some answers for me here? Steve in Hobart. G'day, Steve.
Hello, mate.
Steve, we're up to question number 11. In Norse mythology, which event is also known as the Twilight of the Gods?
Something to do with Valhalla or Asgard.
What's your answer?
Asgard.
Not correct, Steve. Thank you, mate. Not correct. Trevor from Croydon Park. Hello, Trevor.
Hey, Phil. I didn't have Cracker Night ever in Guy Fawkes Night. It was
Where'd you grow up?
On the north coast of New South Wales, Richmond River area.
Yeah.
But I think it probably would have been true anywhere, at least in New South Wales. Cracker Night wasn't Guy Fawkes Night. It was
Empire Day.
Empire Night.
That's right, Empire. Yeah, that's right. I think that's true, actually. I think it varied a bit from where you were. I think where I grew up in Tassie, it was probably Empire Day. That was in June. It was in the middle of winter. Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, question number 11. It was a very good, very, very exciting week. Because they were only in the shops for about a week, as I recall. Which is probably a very, like, very, very fortunate thing.
Very good, yeah. Okay, so the
In Norse mythology, which event is also known as the Twilight of the Gods?
Yeah, what the other bloke said, Götterdämmerung, that was the German language title by Richard Wagner.
Mm.
But I think the original Norse word was Ragnarok.
Correct. Ragnarok is what we want. Ragnarok, yes. Been given a bit of currency in recent years by the TV series about the Vikings, isn't it? Question number 12. We're in the Twilight Zone, but we could move to jazz and blues or six-letter answers or when in Dome.
I believe we've got one six-letter answer, so we'll go for it.
Six-letter answers. Question number 12. In Wallace and Gromit, what breed of dog is Gromit?
A beagle.
Correct. A beagle is the correct answer.
That was lovely cheese. Oh. It's the wrong trousers. The wrong trousers. What have you done with the controls, Gromit? Now, that'll do. Just hold on a minute. Stop it, Gromit. Stop these confounded things. This isn't funny, Gromit. The joke's over. Get me out of these. Blimey day.
Yes, Wallace and Gromit. Gromit was a beagle. Now, I hope you'll all realise that six-letter answers were all concerned with dogs as well. Muzzle, woofer, kennel, quarry and beagle. There we go. I don't want Patrick's work to go unnoticed here.
You could have had a tooth question, the answer being canine.
Oh, yeah, that's true. We could have. Do you want to join the true that could do? Oh, actually, you probably should join the question writing team, Trevor.
Oh.
Hmm.
I think I should
pay and
conditions.
No, we're not interested in pay and conditions. We're not interested in pay or conditions. Irene says, my husband proposed under fireworks. At our wedding reception, he organised fireworks as a surprise with a licence. Oh, that'd be nice. Yeah, that would be nice. Yeah. All right, Bernadette says Empire Night was the 24th of May and it was my birthday. Oh, that's great. Maxim Castle Hill. That was a half-day school holiday in New South Wales. Double bungers, skyrockets and a bonfire. Question number 12. So no more six-letter answers, no more gunpowder plots. So we've got when in Dome, we've got five there. We've got three left in the Twilight Zone or five in jazz and blues.
Okay, I'll try and see how much I can sweep up of the Twilight Zone.
Question number 12. Quote, what so proudly we hailed the twilight's last gleaming are lyrics from which country's national anthem?
God bless the USA.
Yes, correct. It's the United States. What so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming are lyrics from the Star-Spangled Banner, the national anthem of the US of A.
Trumponia.
Well, I think it's all Americans, isn't it, Trevor?
We'll see.
It's all about, what is it, what was it? It's all about, what's it all about? It's Fort Sumter, isn't it? Or
No. It's an earlier fort. Fort Sumter was the one that started the Civil War. But it was the War of 1812.
Must have been. Yeah, that's right. Wouldn't have been the Civil War, you're right. Yeah, No, but that's right. It was the siege of some fort, wasn't it? I'm trying to remember what it was. And at the, in the dawn's early light, they saw the flag still there. They thought, yes, here we go. Question 13.
Twilight Zone.
Which four-letter word is defined as, quote, the darker stage of twilight?
That'd be dusk?
Correct, yes. Dusk. Nice work. One, two, three. Last one in the Twilight Zone.
Yep.
Question 14. Who played Bella Swan in the Twilight film series?
Kristen Stewart, I believe.
Correct, it was, yes. Kristen Stewart, nice work. All right, one, two, three, four, Trevor.
Yeah.
And you cleaned up the Twilight Zone. How about that? Plus you, plus you also identified Gromit as a beagle, so that's five. Very good. All right, so we're moving on now. We've got to go. We've only got two categories left. We have jazz and blues or when in Dome.
Yeah. Well, my lesser weak one is the Dome, so I'll go for that.
Which one? What are we doing? When in Dome. Question 16. In which city would you find the peace memorial known as the A-bomb dome?
Hiroshima.
It would be in Hiroshima, wouldn't it? Yeah.
Well, what I believe was the municipal council chambers.
Yes.
It was direct ground zero.
It was. It was. Yes, exactly. All right.
A short time ago, an American aeroplane dropped one bomb on Hiroshima and destroyed its usefulness to the enemy. That bomb has more power than 20,000 tons of TNT. The Japanese began the war from the air at Pearl Harbor. They have been repaid manyfold, and the end is not yet. With this bomb, we have now added a new and revolutionary increase in destruction to supplement the growing power of our armed forces.
President Truman talking about the atomic bomb. All right, Trevor, we've got that's nice work. One, two, six questions. Good. When in Dome? Staying there? Trev, which James Bond film features Bond rolling down the roof of the Millennium Dome and dislocating his collarbone?
Okay, I'll go for Your Eyes Only. I don't think that's right.
It's not right, Trev, no.
Okay, then.
Good on you. See ya. Bye. Jackie says, by the way, Gromit is definitely not a beagle. He's a claymation. I thought you were going to say it was a cockchafer there for a second, Jackie. Thank you. Adrian, that's not correct, no. Karen from Ullamimbi had dusk. Good. So did Annette from Dull Yellop had dusk. All righty. Brian from Sam from Harvey. G'day, Sam.
Hello, Philip. How are you?
Not too bad, Sam. How's things? All right?
Yeah, good. Thanks, my man.
Question 17, we're up to. When in Dome, which James Bond film features Bond rolling down the roof of the Millennium Dome and dislocating his collarbone?
That'd be Dr. No.
Which one?
Dr. No.
No, not Dr. No. Sorry, Sam, no, not Dr. No. Michael in Brisbane. Hi, Michael.
Phil.
Yes, hi, Michael, that's right.
How are you?
I'm good. Yeah, no, I'm good. When in Dome. Which James Bond film features Bond rolling down the roof of the Millennium Dome and dislocating his collarbone?
I reckon I've seen half of one James Bond film, Phil. So
that's going to make it hard.
We're not well positioned to answer this one. No,
haven't no good.
Can't do it, mate. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Michael. Nice to talk. Anyway, thanks for having a crack. Jane from Homebush. Yes, correct. That is the movie we're after. What about Brian from Blackwater? Hi, Brian.
Hey, Phil. How are you going?
Oh, not bad. Yeah. We have temporarily stopped at this one. Question 17. When in Dome, which James Bond film features Bond rolling down the roof of the Millennium Dome and dislocating his collarbone?
Well, before I bomb out, Phil, I'd just like to relay a little of my own little event of Guy Fawkes Night.
Oh, yeah.
We had a power outage when I was little, and I didn't know the difference between Kero and Mepho. But have you ever tried putting Mepho in a Kero lantern and lighting her up?
Oh, no. Oh, no, Brian.
I did my own backyard impersonation of Mickey Louder.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Well, you all right? Or did you end up with some scars here?
Oh, no, I burnt my nasal hair and my eyebrows and my fringe and apparently that was the wrong feel. I was about 7 or 8, so anyway.
Yeah, I know, they were different times, weren't we? I mean, I don't know how we survived. Perhaps some of us didn't.
Growing up in the bush, you know, that every day is an event.
Yeah. I like that, Brian, that's great. Every day is an event, that's true. Yeah. All righty, question 17. We're in When in Dome. Which James Bond film features Bond rolling down the roof of the Millennium Dome and dislocating his collarbone?
Mate, I look like the other fellow. I've probably watched about 2 James Bond movies halfway through because they're always on the drive-in late at night.
Yep.
And I fell asleep. But I can only remember Goldfinger, and it'll be wrong, but it'll cut it down to about 20 for someone else.
Yeah, that's right. It'll reduce it to about 20 or 25. Yeah, it's not Goldfinger. Thanks, Brian.
Ciao.
See ya. Lines are free if you want to grab one. 1-300-800-222 is the number. Paul from Yass says, hi, Phil. We used to get half a day off school for Empire Day on the 24th of May, which is pretty colonial, isn't it? As if we celebrated Queen Victoria's birthday. Yes, the whole thing about Empire and Empire Day, I suppose, seems a bit dated from this vantage point, doesn't it? Question 17, When in Dome. Which James Bond film features Bond rolling down the roof of the Millennium Dome and dislocating his collarbone? Michael from Chester Hill. Hi, Michael.
Hello.
Hello.
You can hear me okay then?
I can. Which film are we after here?
Well, look, I'm not sure 100%, but what I do know is that it has to be one of the films that was, like, filmed after the Millennium Dome had been built. So it can't be any of the early Sean Connery ones, certainly not Dr. No and certainly not Goldfinger or any of those. I'm tempted to go with something the latest Bond, possibly. But I'm going to take a stab in the dark and maybe hope. I mean, I was really looking forward to the jazz and blues question, so I'll stay tuned for that. But, look, I'm just going to take a stab in the dark and maybe suggest, is it The Living Daylights with
It's not the Living Daylights.
Thanks, anyway.
Thanks, Michael. Yeah, good on you. Thanks for having a good think about it. I like the way you're thinking about it. George in Newcastle. G'day, George.
G'day.
Hello. Question 17. Which James Bond film features Bond rolling down the roof of the Millennium Dome and dislocating his collarbone?
Casino Royale.
Not Casino Royale, no. Sorry, George, no. No. Thank you, Jackie. Matt from Holland Park. Hi, Matt.
Yeah, g'day. How you going?
Not bad. We're a bit stuck on the James Bond film. Which one features Bond rolling down the roof of the Millennium Dome and dislocating his collarbone?
I'll go... Young Live Twice.
Not You Only Live Twice. No, Not You Only Live Twice. Tess in Gawler. G'day, Tess.
Oh, good day.
Hello.
Is it Quantum of Solace?
No, it's not Quantum of Solace.
Oh.
I know. Yeah, I mean, I like the way people are thinking. You've got to try and think about when the Millennium Dome has been around, and therefore that markedly reduces the number of films, doesn't it? Elizabeth, no, that's not correct. Jeff on the Sunshine Coast. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, mate, how are you?
How are you? What's the movie?
I'm going to have a punt at Moonraker.
No, it's not Moonraker. No, it's not Moonraker. Philip from Guildford, hello.
Hello.
Which James Bond film features Bond rolling down the roof of the Millennium Dome and dislocating his collarbone?
Watch out of the misery. Tomorrow Never Dies.
No, it's not. It's not Tomorrow Never Dies. It's not. Will someone put us out of our misery? Jared from Scarborough. G'day, Jared.
How you going? How are you? You good?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. Well, we'd like an answer to this question. We're a bit stuck on it.
I don't know, you would. Well, we definitely know it's after 2000 anyway, so I'd be guessing Quantum of Solace?
No, we've had Quantum of Solace, so I'll give you another one.
Casino Royale?
No, we've had Casino Royale. I'll give you one more guess.
We could
sit here and go through the list, couldn't we?
Yeah, 2 seconds, I reckon. I know who the actor is. Oh, well. Mental Block.
No. What's a mental block? Sorry. Where are we? What about Ian? Well, there's no point in asking you a movie question, is there, Ian? Or maybe there is.
Oh, yeah. No. I'm good on movie questions. I even knew that Shrek was green a little while ago.
Oh, good. Hey, which James Bond film features Bond rolling down the roof of the Millennium Dome and dislocating his collarbone?
Here's my logic. He must have fell from the sky, so it might be Skyfall.
No, we've had Skyfall.
Oh.
No, I'll give you another guess.
No, I'm out of guesses.
Okay.
I'm happy for the answer.
Thanks, mate. See you later. Oh, we're a bit stuck here. Paul from Planland says, shows how many of us have never seen a Bond movie. Yeah, we don't really have that many correct answers either. Who knows the answer? Cameron from South Perth. Cameron, do you know the answer?
Well, the name that came to mind was on His Majesty's Service.
No, not on His Majesty's Secret Service. No, that's not correct. Sol in Perth. G'day, Sol.
Hello.
What do you reckon? Which James Bond film features Bond rolling down the roof of the Millennium Dome and dislocating his collarbone?
Well, if my memory serves me correct, it's a Pierce Brosnan one, and it's The World Is Odd Enough.
Correct! Yes! Hooray! The world... Gee whiz, thank you for that.
That's all right. I was debating whether to call in. I sat for about 5 minutes wondering if anyone was going to get it right.
No one was going to get it right. That was like being ramped in the ambulance queue, Sol, and at last we get, you know, nosed into the hospital. Thank you. Good on you. All right, question number 18. When in Dome, that's where we are, but you can move if you like to jazz and blues.
I'll stick with Dome.
When in Dome, by what name is the Islamic shrine Kubat as-Sakra known in English? Kubat as-Sakra.
I would... hazard a guess, Dome of the Rock.
Correct. Very good. Yes. We're in a category called When in Dome. It's called the Dome of the Rock.
Hmm.
Highly contested place. Question number 19. Two left in When in Dome, if you like.
Yeah, I'll stick with that.
The famous Caesars Superdome sports stadium is located in which US city?
Caesars, I'm guessing Las Vegas.
Not Las Vegas, no. Thanks, Sol. Good on you. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks for helping us out with the movie. That was very, that was very kindly of you. Luke's in Brisbane. G'day, Luke.
G'day, Phil.
Question number 19: the famous Caesars Superdome sports stadium, located where? In which US city?
I have no idea. I was just going to say, very quickly. Went on a school trip to Canberra. We bought a whole lot of fireworks. We took them back to Melbourne.
Oh, no.
And then there were, and then there was some letters to the parents
saying explosives are in the school community.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Because I think the teachers didn't really realise, and then we all got home, and the management of the school got a little bit concerned about us having bags full of crackers back in Melbourne. So, and I've just had a look. Canberra got rid of it at 2009.
Yeah, that's right.
They abolished them. So, yeah, but some good memories before that.
Very good memories. The famous Caesar Superdome Sports Stadium is located in which US city?
How about Salt Lake City?
Not Salt Lake City, no. It gets rid of one, doesn't it? Thanks, Luke. It gets rid of one. Steve in the truck. G'day, Steve.
Good evening, Phil.
Evening.
The, I ask, what was the James Bond? Was it
The World Is Not Enough? The World Is Not Enough, yeah. The World Is Not Enough. Question 19 we're up to. The famous Caesars Superdome Sports Stadium is located in which US city?
My guess is LA.
It's not LA. No, it's not LA. Not, thanks, Steve. It's not a bad guess, isn't it? Jane from Homebush has got the right answer. So has Milo got the right answer? Karen from Mullumbimby? No, that's not correct. No, Frank from Mount Evelyn's got the right answer. Bob from Coolangop? No. What about Charlie from Mount Druitt? Have you got a quick answer for me, Charlie? Because otherwise I've got to go to the news.
I haven't, and I wanted to tell you a funny story
crackers. I'll put you on hold and we'll come back to you.
The Mighty Challenge.
Charlie from Mount Druitt was up on deck. G'day, Charlie.
Phil, good to be with you again.
Now, go on. Yeah, tell us about your story.
All right. So this is many years ago when you could get fireworks.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we got them anyway. So do you remember Roman candles?
I do.
So you could get the smaller ones, but this one that we decided to let off on New Year's Eve at a friend's place with a few people there was a 50-shotter.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was pretty big. And anyway, we decided that if we wedged it between two bricks, that should keep it stable.
Mm.
But no. As soon as the first one went off, it fell over and went straight towards where all the people were standing. And you should have seen the people run and bolt inside. Because we're outside, of course, and it was just mayhem. And there was, like I said, 50 shots just going off walls and hitting the windows, and it was, like I said, a bit of bedlam.
Yeah, I know, the joys of cracker night. It was fun.
Me and my brother used to have Roman candle gunfights.
Oh, dear.
You know, from about 10, 15 metres away, went point blank. But I know.
Yeah. All right. Now, Charlie, good story. Tell me, the famous Caesar Superdome Sports Stadium is located in which US city?
I think it's New Orleans.
Correct, it is, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's in New Orleans. I think that's the one where people took shelter in when the New Orleans hurricane had been through. Question number 20, when in Dome, one left there, otherwise it's five questions in straight in jazz and blues.
Let's go for the
jazz and blues, all right.
Yeah.
Question number 20, Straighten Up and Fly Right was a 1943 hit for which jazz musician's trio?
Oh, geez, 43, jazz trio. I can't even think of one from back then, mate.
No good. Thanks for the story, Charlie.
All right,
take care. See you, mate, bye-bye. Yeah, Carl from Camperdown. G'day, Carl.
How you going?
Not bad. Not bad. Question number 20, Rin. Jazz and blues, Straighten Up and Fly Right. was a 1943 hit for which jazz musician's trio? I don't need the name of the trio. I just need whose trio it was.
Well, like Holden, so I'm just going to say the Commodores.
Not the Commodores. Thanks, mate. Not the Commodores, no. Don from Maroubra. G'day, Don.
Hello, Phil.
Hello, hello. Yeah. What do you reckon? Straighten Up and Fly Right was a 1943 hit for which jazz musician's trio?
Benny Goodman would be, wouldn't it?
No, it's not Benny. Nope, it's not Benny Goodman. Lee from Narrabeen. Hello, Lee.
Oh, Phil, I love the song, but can't think of the artist, mate.
It's a good song. Good song. Thanks, Lee. Sorry. Well, there are lines free. There are lines free. 1-300-800-222 is the number. And Tess in South Australia has got the right answer. Harry in the Bay, correct. Jules from Nambucca Heads, correct. Elizabeth, no, it's not Louis Armstrong. John in Williamstown. Hi, John.
Oh, hi, Phil.
Straighten Up and Fly Right was a 1943 hit for which jazz musician's trio?
Nat King Cole.
Correct, yes. The great Nat King Cole.
Took a monkey for a ride in the air. The monkey thought that everything was on the square. The buzzer tried to throw the monkey off of his back, but the monkey grabbed his neck and said, "Now listen, Jack, straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and fly right. Cool down, Papa, don't you blow your top. Ain't no use."
Yes, very good song. All righty, we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 left. 4 in jazz and blues, 1 in When in Dome. John, up to you.
I'll stay in blues and jazz.
Staying in jazz and blues. In the blues, which instrument is sometimes called a Mississippi saxophone?
Mississippi saxophone would be the harmonica.
Correct.
The mouth harp.
Correct, the mouth harp. Yes, that's right. The harmonica, correct. A Mississippi saxophone. All righty, question number 22. You are perilously close here, John. Staying with jazz and blues, I suspect.
Yes, thanks,
Paul.
Bill
from Plainland says Nat King Cole had perfect pitch. Yeah. All right, question number 22. Miles Ahead is a classic 1957 jazz album by which trumpeter?
Oh, Miles Davis.
Yes, that was too easy, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I tell you what, our own Mr. Morrison in this country is pretty good, John, but Miles Davis, wow, what a player. Just
incredible.
Listen to some of that. And imagine the difficulty of making those sounds on a trumpet. Amazing.
Amazing artist.
He was an amazing artist. All right, we've got 3 left, 2 in jazz and blues, 1 in When in Dome.
Yeah, I'll stay in the jazz and blues. Thanks, Phil.
Django Reinhardt was born on the 23rd of January, 1910. In which European country?
God, I know it. It's Django Reinhardt. I know he was a gypsy. I know he had He had a couple of fingers missing too, I think.
No good?
I'm going to try.
All right, John. We'll leave it. 1-300-800-222 is the number. Katika in Hobart. Hi, Katika.
Hi, how are you going?
Pretty good. Django Reinhardt was born.
I don't know where he was born. Oh, I'm going to say Romania.
No, he wasn't born in Romania. Thank you. He was not born in Romania. Adrian on the Gold Coast. Hi, Adrian.
Oh, hi, yeah. Good evening.
Django Reinhardt was born in which European country?
A really good question. I'm sorry, I just have no idea. I thought he was American.
No, that's not going to. That is not going to help us. No. Will is in Perth. G'day, Will.
Hey, mate.
Hello. Where was Django Reinhardt born?
Going to have to make a guess here because I actually don't know.
Let's not whisper answers to each other, eh? It's just stupid. James from Elwood. Hello. G'day, James. Hello. Hi. We're in Jazz and Blues. Django Reinhardt was born on the 23rd of January 1910 in which European country?
I've got an answer. It might be Portugal.
No, it wasn't Portugal. Thank you. No, it wasn't Portugal. Jane from Homebush has got the right answer. Good on you. Barnsley and Campbell's Creek. Chris in the Southern Waters. Good. Karen from Mullumbimby, not correct. Liz from Canipa Point, help us out, Liz. Where was Django Reinhardt born?
I could be a bit confused, but I think it's Spain.
No, it's not Spain.
That's right.
No, I know, with a name like Django, maybe, yeah. No, it's not Spain. All right, we've got lines free, 1-300-800-222. We're up to question 23 here. Django Reinhardt was born on the 23rd of January 1910 in which European country? All right, three questions left, two in Jazz and Blues, one in When in Dome. All right, who wants to crack this? Django Reinhardt, born on the 23rd of January 1910 in which European country? Bill in Whyalla. G'day, Bill.
Whyalla, yeah.
Hello. Where was he born?
Hello.
Yeah, hi. Hi, Bill. Where was he born?
Germany.
No, he wasn't born in Germany, no. Django Reinhardt was born on the 23rd of January 1910, famously, in which European country? Jules from Annerley. Hi, Jules.
Hi there.
Hi. Where was he born?
I'm guessing France.
No, he wasn't born in France. No.
Okay.
No, he wasn't born in France. Barnsley's got the right answer. Who else has got the right answer? Not a lot of others. Chris in the Southern Waters, I think, is the only other one that's got the right answer. It's not that difficult. Django Reinhardt was born on the 23rd of January 1910. We're in a category called Jazz and Blues. Django Reinhardt, of course. Famous. Thank you, by the way, John from Melbourne East, who said gave us some tips on the Star Spangled Banner lyrics. It was the events of the War of 1812, also known as the Second War of Independence. Yes, specifically it was about the Battle of Baltimore. Francis Scott Key saw the US flag flying over Fort McHenry, that's right, Fort McHenry after a night of British bombardment. And that's what it was about. I was saying, can you see by the dawn's early light? All right, Greg from Bentley East. Hello, Greg.
Hello, how are you going?
Not bad. Django Reinhardt was born on the 23rd of January, 1910, in which European country?
Well, the two obvious ones have gone, so I'm just going to have a punt, mate, being Cup Week, and say Germany.
No, I've had Germany, so I'll give you another. You can have another guess.
Oh, and I know Portugal and Spain have gone.
Yeah, and France has gone. France has gone.
How about the Netherlands?
No, well, Netherlands is gone, so...
Oh, that's gone too. I only just joined in.
Yeah.
Okay, let's have a guess and say Belgium.
Correct.
Oh. I knew it was that area.
You were given a lot of latitude there, Greg, but that's fair enough.
I appreciate it.
Yes, if you like jazz and blues, you like Django Reinhardt. All righty, Greg, we've got two left. One in jazz and blues, one in When in Dome.
I'll go with jazz and blues. Last, a bit of a fan.
Last one in jazz and blues. Okay. Quote, don't wish it away, don't look at it like it's forever, are the opening lyrics to which Elton John song?
I guess that's why they call it the blues.
Correct.
Don't wish it away, don't look at it like it's forever. Between you and me, I could honestly say that things can only get better. And it won't be long before you and me run to the place in our hearts where we hide. And I guess that's why they call it the blues.
Yes, Elton John's Guess What They Call It, the Blues. All right, Greg. We have got, you know what, we've got just the one question left.
Well, coming at the right time.
I know, it's taken us a while, but we got here. Question 25, When in Dome.
What does that mean, sorry, When in?
When in Dome, D-O-M-E, all right?
When in
Dome.
Okay.
Which 1985 post-apocalyptic movie was mainly filmed in Coober Pedy?
1985. It's one of the Mad Maxes. Beyond Thunderdome.
Correct, yes, Beyond Thunderdome. Thank you, Greg. Well done. All right. it was a bit of a long extraction tonight, but still.
It was.
We got there. On you, Greg. Put you on hold and we'll get some details from you. Thank you. Barnsley from Campbell's Creek had Beyond Thunderdome as well. Django Reinhardt says Elizabeth was one of the best jazz musicians ever. Ever. Keep up the good work. Love the show, says Jim. Thank you, Jim. Diana from Woodnelling. Yes, Beyond Thunderdome. Correct. All righty, nice work. I think it was the Bond movie that took us a while, wasn't it? The World Is Not Enough.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.